Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Donny fancied it on Friday, but he doesn't fancy it anymore. What an absolute tool. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 30th of December. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Ball.
Get fucked.
Welcome.
I'm fancying it.
Fancying us.
Didn't last long, did it?
I wrote the line, Jules delivered it.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I preferred your Carabao stuff.
You know what? It's actually really nice when your team doesn't play at the weekend. Yeah. I've had a stress-free weekend. I
TikTok,
basically just
TikTok.
Had a, you know, didn't have to worry about the football.
Pompey are undefeated in about 9 or 10 in the league now.
8, actually.
Is it 8?
Okay. Don't get excited.
Danny Cowley got cart before the horse.
Danny Cowley got manager of the month, so that means our next game will be a defeat.
Yeah, you'll lose 5-0 in the next one. Oh, Donny, what happened? Leicester beat Newcastle by 4-0. Failing to capitalise on that first win of the season last week. You really did fancy it.
I weirdly still fancy us in this match. I sent that message like 10 minutes in, and I fancied us up until the second in which Jamal Lascelles thought it was a good idea to stick his leg out and knock James Maddison to the floor. I thought we could still win it 2-0. I'm going to wait until midweek And basically just reappraise
this result. And reappraise.
I just need to check the figures again. But Newcastle were, maybe I'm just astonished at the turnaround in performances from players like Joe Linton and people. And I just, and good. Newcastle, look, I'm enjoying watching Newcastle again. Yeah. And although we did lose 4-0, I don't know how we managed to do that.
What has Amanda Staveley done to him?
I don't know. I've got a theory that you sent that voice note to us all just after Johnny Evans went off injured.
Yeah, would you reckon?
And
right?
You thought, okay, that's on now.
Oh, it was on. It was. Leicester looked absolutely tragic at times in the first half, and Newcastle had more shots, not on target, more shots than Leicester by a good proportion. They had more possession, and that's not something we could have said about Newcastle's side at any point before Eddie Howe joined the club. I'm enjoying watching Newcastle United, and it's been individual mistakes in this match where it's like, you know, Miggy Almiron, he's not quite where he should be, and Jamal Lascelles, who's just having a stinking time at the moment.
I mean, they've lost 4-0.
They have lost 4-0, that's true, yeah.
You just never know what you're going to get with Dawson.
No.
They can win a game and he'll be like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, you hate it. They lose and he's
more corners positive than the opposition.
But they completely, from where I was looking.
They folded in, yeah.
Yeah.
After 2-0, but it was after 2-0.
Yeah, but that's a bad sign.
It is a bad sign. But you're not
one game all season.
But it was like, what was it, 20 minutes from the end that they got the two, and then 10 minutes from the end that they started putting more goals past.
Yeah, but the commentator said, I think when the fourth goal went in, it was about 85 minutes or something, I can't remember exactly. When the fourth goal went in, the commentator said, and you wouldn't rule out more. And I was thinking, there's no 5 minutes left. So how could you be happy with this?
I'm really happy with it. I think, look, as I said, I'm going to wait till midweek to see if we can still win this match. Because, Jamal Lascelles is making mistakes all over the place. His decision-making in his own box. I don't know what it is, whether just failure has been ingrained in that man.
It was cute from Madison, wasn't it? It was cute from him.
The penalty was both a penalty and a dive, so... which is difficult to stomach, I think, sometimes. But yeah.
I don't have a problem with that penalty. I think there were some dubious ones over the weekend. I think there were 7 awarded across the weekend, which is the most there's been in any match week since September 2003. I reckon all the referees had their Christmas party early doors. They went Thursday last week, so they were on a bit of a hangover this weekend. Yeah. That must
Tired.
Be it, surely.
Definitely.
Because there were some really odd ones this weekend.
You spent
weekend,
a lot of time going to Peter Walton on BT Sport, didn't you?
I mean, we always have a go at Peter Walton.
I know you do.
Bless
Poor man.
But yeah, Timothy Castagna did try and make things a bit more interesting, didn't he, with that back pass?
Oh, it's good, wasn't it? But if that got in, what was that, 2-1? Oh, come on.
It's patronising to Newcastle
come
as well
on.
Because he did it. Schmeichel saved the day, and they both had a bit of a laugh about it afterwards.
Yeah, you
don't
can
worry
laugh
about it.
Those,
it's
those are the moments Schmeichel lives for, though.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
He was absolutely buzzing off that.
We were absolutely marking their number 9 out of the game.
Yeah, but I would posit this. It's 2-0. Leicester have had a difficulty keeping clean sheets, as I'm sure we can all agree. If they were playing against an opponent they respected, Schmeichel would have been like, listen, Timothy.
Head on.
Like, yeah, it's 2-0. Yeah. Next goal's massive here. 2-0, the next goal is huge. If make it 2-1, we might only win this 3-1 or 4-1.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important. But he was just laughing about it instead, though.
Yeah.
And I think...
I'm waiting for the hanging chads to come in.
Do you think... Yeah. You waited for Donald Trump's man to certify the result officially on Wednesday.
Exactly, yeah.
But Pete, you must, I mean, joking aside, you must be worried about this. Because if they're playing, in your words, quite well and you're enjoying watching them play, but they're still getting pumped, the games they've got coming up are tough.
Oh, they're awful.
Well, yeah. December's awful. I mean, it is awful. It was always going to be awful. And we're working on a foundation of sod all, to be honest. I'm just happy that there are teams like Southampton who are dropping like a bloody stone.
Well,
to give
some
try to curry Luke's favour there.
I'm just saying there are backflips going on. There are laughs about goal line clearances going on. There are James Maddison's basically got a pipe and slippers on and running the show. And I fear for Newcastle in a big way. It doesn't look like Eddie Howe has got the, I know this is like a stereotypical thing to say about Eddie. Have you met Eddie?
I have met Eddie a couple of
times. Nice fella.
Really nice.
But is he the man? Is he the man to, okay, look around the dressing room here. Are we going to sort this out? The players, with the exception of Lascelles, who you say is having a stinker, and Eddie Howe, is it really going
to, I don't know
improve?
If I'm the best person to comment on that because I've not seen him in a kind of working environment like that.
Well, you just saw him at the
manager.
Club?
No, I've seen him at in TV situations.
I thought you were going to say Tinder then. I genuinely thought you were going to say Tinder.
Swiping.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that little bio.
You get loads of matches. You get loads of matches.
Yeah.
No, I've met him in the green room at work a couple of times when he's been on to, when he was taking a bit of a break after Bournemouth. And he's really nice. does he have, I know what you mean, is he the type that's going to give them a bit of a rollicking? I don't know.
This is what an this is what
but
players
I don't know if that's
who
what
have
they
not,
need.
Well, these are players that have not had an organised system for the best part of two years. They've had out of boys and been pushing them on the pitch and just go, just do what you do best. And if that fails, just give it to ASM. So we're in a situation where there is a bit of a system. They need better defenders in those positions because at
I
the
agree.
End of the day, they need to play their way out. They either need to play their way out of form or they need better centre-backs. And I think that's what's going to happen in January. You're not going to get any points in December, unfortunately. We've got the two Manchesters. We've got,
is that what you've resigned yourself to? Zero.
That was a nil-pois. But, you know, still not bottom. Not bottom.
I think you never know. You might surprise a few teams and get the odd point.
I have never been more interested in watching Newcastle United in the past couple of years.
Actually agree with you. I think that they have become more interesting to watch in the last few weeks since Eddie has taken over, personally.
Yeah, but I mean, a large part of, you know, really bad things that happen in society are interesting, aren't they? That's not necessarily a positive thing. And also, if they find themselves in the similar situation or worse, based on what you said, in January, it's kind of hard to think of the type of players they're going to be able to sign.
Yeah. But that was as soon as Eddie Howe came in, that was the situation. Does any player want a relegation on their CV? It's always going to be difficult to sign reinforcements. But at the end of the day, that's what money's for, isn't it? I suppose. And they've got oodles of it, apparently. But again, Eddie Howe needs, it's that director of football situation, isn't it? Eddie Howe needs a little bit of help because Eddie Howe historically signs poorly, doesn't he? Mm. When he's got the reins of the
club.
That was what kind of did for him, partly what did for him
at Bournemouth, right? And Eddie Howe's got the impression he's a bit of a hothouse flower, really, in that kind of rarefied Bournemouth atmosphere where the whole thing revolved around him. And what he did was amazing, but there's never been, I mean, and it's not about, beating him with a stick or anything, because, he's trying to do his best, obviously. But there is no evidence at all. I don't mean that the evidence is bad, I just mean there is no evidence of him achieving anything else outside of Bournemouth. And he's gone into a very difficult situation there, not only because they're in a bad state on the pitch, but also managing up. It's all a little bit kind of confusing. It's all a bit, little bit of a moving feast. You don't know who you're managing up to. Mm. Director of football's got to come in. Presumably the director of football comes in and Eddie has to vibe with him or it's not going to work anyway. And they become one of those clubs who are super wealthy but just go through managers like nobody's been.
First half against Arsenal, first half against this side, I really enjoyed the performance.
Okay, right.
I think they're way better drilled. ASM is quieter because the plan before was just give it to him and he just roams around the pitch.
I thought he did quite well.
And obviously, he's at a point in his Premier League career where he just gets crowded out. They as soon as he gets the ball, two or three defenders run towards him and he gets nullified a little bit. And now he's playing in a bit of a system. He is quieter. He's not bringing quite so much to the team. But to be honest, I think that's a better position for Newcastle to be in. You can't always just give it to him. Just hope he's gonna come up with something, because that was the only plan before. They're way more organised. Like, they look so much better at the moment. And yeah, they're not getting the results. But at the end of the day, we've got Leicester, the two Manchesters, and I think Chelsea over
Liverpool
over
as well.
Liverpool.
Like, these fixtures were always going to be there and they're always going to be difficult. And before Eddie Howe come in, we wouldn't be winning those matches either. Like, we might get a lucky draw, 1-1 against, I don't know, your Man United or something, but precious more than that, to be honest.
I think what was probably more worrying from a Newcastle perspective in this game is that Leicester haven't been great and they haven't been good defensively particularly. I think that was the first clean sheet for Kasper Schmeichel in the league since the opening day of the season. They've been leaking goals. And so for Newcastle not to score against them, I mean, I fancied them, Pete. I fancied them to score against Leicester. I didn't fancy them to win, but I fancied them to score.
As soon as they went 2-0 up, obviously, they just sat back and just sucked everything up and they just couldn't find a way through. But you're not going to when there's 10 men behind the ball and then Leicester City hit us on the break. But look, I think we're in such a better position than we were a month ago, and I'm going to be proved wrong, no doubt, because we'll probably go down. But
did you enjoy Alan Pardew's punditry?
No, I went to I drove to Waitrose and bought some blueberries.
Did you?
And then jammed them into my fucking eyes. Because that is more preferable.
Is that how small your eyes are? Your whole one blueberry can take it.
Blueberries are an interesting choice for a snack.
Oh, not for me. So Sarah's porridge.
Mimi walked into the
and
room.
And your eyeballs.
And my eyeballs.
My wife walked into the room. It's when Pardew was punting. She just went, "Who is that man?
Who is that man?
Did you?
How long have you got?"
He's a tall drink of water.
Pete knows more about Newcastle than me, and he watches them more closely than I. And I understand, his points, because, for the first, until the penalty, really, they were okay, weren't they? But the but the situation is that they, at least for a couple of the goals, they were carved open. Mm. They were badly carved open.
Mm.
And you know, as Jules has said, you know, Leicester have struggled to keep people out this year. And they didn't really struggle that much against Newcastle. So it's tough for them.
Brendan Rodgers came up with some new vocabulary at the end, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What did he call it?
He said it was a tough-a-cult game.
Tough-a-cult.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should
put it in the
make
dictionary.
That thing, yeah.
Word of the year. Forget your NFTs.
In the BBC radio interview, he called it a tough-a-cult game.
I like that. Tough and difficult, mixed into one. It was a bit of both, so why not?
That's also a lie as well, isn't it?
Graham Souness said football is doomed, guys, after Maddison's soft penalty in that match, which we've discussed. As I said, there are loads of slightly strange decisions for penalties given over the weekend. You've got Salah's that was given against Aston Villa. Liverpool beat Villa by a goal to nil in Stevie G's return to Anfield. Mm. We had quite a few arguments about that one on Score because we were watching it. And as soon as I saw Salah go down, my face was literally like screwed up. I was like, I don't like that one. I was happy because he's in my fantasy team. But I was a little bit like, I didn't really like how he went down there.
And the issue seems to be stemming from VAR, right? Because VAR has to look at whether it's a clear and obvious error to overturn it.
Mm.
But it feels to me the referees are like, well, I can give this because if it's wrong, VAR will overturn it.
Mm.
And you find that the decisions seem to get caught in this hinterland where the VAR official's got his instructions.
Is that another made-up word?
Hinterland?
Hinterland.
No, we'll talk about this afterwards.
Like Wonderland and
The other day you didn't even know what the word pedant was.
No, so I didn't.
We could talk about this afterwards.
I mean, not a great show to be on with old Moore, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
Dictionary. Yeah, I tell you, you're missing that out a lot, not getting me as a pedant. The idea being that, you know, what the VAR officials have been asked to do isn't actually going to solve a lot of the problems of mistakes on the pitch because they're not so clear and obvious that they're going to be overturned. And we saw the same with the Man City one.
Yes.
Which I thought was weird. Actually, I think the Man City one was probably a proper error at the fault of all the officials.
I think that was a tougher cult one for VAR to look over, to be honest. So Man City beat Wolves by a goal to nil, and it was the penalty that was the deciding factor in this match. It was a handball, if you haven't seen it. João Moutinho, after he blocked a cross with his arm in the air, Pep Guardiola actually himself called it a half-half decision. What did you think of it? Because it does, it kind of catches his like side chest and
does that kind of count as
sleeve.
Like a, yeah, does it count as like an unnatural position for your arm? Is that the main thing?
I'm okay with it because the arm was in the air.
Yeah.
But I think it's the area that it catches is still actually on his shirt, which I thought was a new rule that if it touches the shirt, it doesn't count.
I'm not okay with it because it wasn't handball.
Right.
It was given as a penalty for handball. That's my issue.
Okay.
We talked about the t-shirt rule now.
Yeah,
we
the t-shirt rule.
Firing his arms, as you said, Pete, in an unnatural position, which I think is what the officials probably decided upon. But it hits him here.
Mm.
And I think that's really, really harsh.
Thanks for that. The viewers saw, the listeners saw that.
I was doing it for you because you seemed a bit confused.
Visual pedant.
Yeah, you seem a bit confused. And I also think that having said what I've just said, Wolves can't really have cause to complain because I have never seen such time wasting from a team. It was like they set out from the start of the game to not Wigginson waste as much time as possible.
Nearly worked,
to be
though.
Fair,
it did nearly work.
It's better than the violence that Bruno Lage said he was going to carry out. He said that if Bernardo Silva starts to dribble, I will shoot him in his knee.
Yeah, that'll be a penalty. We don't need VAR for that.
We'll
as
allow
a penalty.
That.
Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter wrote, "I'd never heard this phrase before. John Moss wouldn't know which way a lift was going if he had two fucking guesses."
That's a great one.
Brilliant. I mean, no doubt about Raul Jimenez's red card, though. Two yellows.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, what was he doing?
Having a lovely time.
That was idiotic, to say the least.
Is that a bit of pre-Christmas fun?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Too early.
Yeah.
He's only going to miss one game, I think, because it's two yellows.
Yeah.
Disappoint him.
Yeah, he's not going to. You really need to lamp someone much closer to Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the reason that we're all sort of, why there's been so much talk over the penalties, and we hate to kind of go into VAR like on Football Ramble because it's boring, isn't it? But I think the reason why it's got everyone talking this weekend is because these decisions were all completely game changing.
Yeah.
Man City's win meant they were going to stay top of the table. Liverpool's win meant they would, basically the top three stayed as they were over the weekend. And it could have been very different had it not been for
the bigger clubs at this point as well. Yeah. The Jimenez thing is frustrating if you're a Wolves fan because you are thinking they would have, I keep saying this, I know at the moment, but they would have worked on this knowing they're playing Man City away from home. Everyone's got to do their job properly. You know, you want to get out of it with a positive result. You're really going to have to ride your luck and maybe nick something.
Mm.
And for him, not only for Jimenez did it kind of so early in the game, just before half time as well. It's like,
yeah,
you're not going to get away with that. You're just not going to get away with it. And so, and I think personally, and I don't want to cast aspersions on Mr. Moss, but he seemed to me frustrated with Wolves' antics generally, which maybe forced him to make a decision perhaps he might not have made, because that is, I mean, technically that is a yellow card, what Jimenez did, the second one. But so you do sometimes see referees say, look, retake it. Yeah, but he didn't do that. And I think that probably speaks to how Wolves approached the game, actually. I've got no particular beef with Wolves generally. I just think that, you know, they kind of did the same thing in their game before. Was that against Liverpool? And Liverpool won that late on, didn't they? They were kind of similar in that, which you can understand. I mean, you got to push it as much as you can, but don't be surprised if the referee comes back and bites you for it. But they were unlucky with the penalty decision, in my opinion.
Raheem Sterling stepped up and took it. That was his 100th Premier League goal. So congrats to him.
Amazing achievement.
Making the 100 club. And he also has been announced on the shortlist for Sports Personality of the Year.
Good for him.
Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll try and get through a few of the rest of the games and some of your emails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
My fave.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is Jules, Luke and Pete here for you, looking back at all the weekend's matches. Before we get to your emails, let's just see how we got on in Betway's 4-to-score. Remember, if you want to enter, it is free each week. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. And make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further terms and conditions do apply. So game one was Norwich against Manchester United. Another game decided by a penalty, by the way. Kate picked Mason Greenwood to be the first goal scorer, but the result was, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo. Game two was Burnley West Ham. Jim picked Mikel Antonio. There was no goal scorer. That one ended a goalless draw at Turf Moor. Game three was Leicester against Newcastle. Pete, he fancied it. He went for Fabian Schär.
Yeah.
The result was Yuri Tillemans.
There was a lot of 6-yard, 18-yard action at that point.
I could see why you could have got one in. Yeah, yeah.
Why not? And Crystal Palace against Everton. Luke, you picked Richarlison.
Yeah.
He got substituted. The fans weren't too happy about that, were they, the Everton fans? They were booing Rafa.
It was the great Conor Gallagher.
It was.
The world's best midfield player.
What a player.
Yeah. His second goal was ridiculous.
Yeah, he's excellent. Yeah. He's been described as special this weekend, and he is excellent player. Right, there we go. That is Betway's Four to Score. We will be back for another round of that on the preview show this Friday. And now it's time for this.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show@footballramble.com.
Sea shanty there.
Yeah.
hello to Liam Devoy. After Friday's show, where Kate, Luke, and Pete discussed the dog pooing on the pitch, along with other incidents where animals got past security, it reminded me of a man called Jungle Joe. Jungle Joe, a Gaelic football fan, brought a chicken to a cup game between Laois and Kildare. The chicken escaped his grasp and remained on the pitch for the entire first half.
I love that.
I like that they played on, though.
Leave it.
I just leave it.
You know, like in rugby, when someone gets treatment, they carry on the game.
Oh, right, do they?
Yeah, so I wonder.
Do they do that on the pitch?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool.
If a player gets injured, they just play around them. Which probably tells you.
Real men. Yeah.
How did the chicken get away with just sitting
That's
there?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just the entire first half.
Clucking
like
away.
Like the players having to sort of go around the chicken.
It can fly a bit, a chicken, can't it? So I guess if it got any action towards it, it would just fly up in the air for a bit, come down again.
You're watching Chicken Run?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually, but I would love to rewatch.
What a film.
That's a great, Christmas is a great
it's
time
a
to rewatch
good
it.
Christmas film.
What about this from Owen Bauer, who says, on the subject of penalty alternatives, something we've been talking about over the last week or two, Owen suggests, I would like to bring to your attention the American indoor soccer rules, where you play a golden goal game at full strength for 1 minute. If no one scores, each team removes a player. This is continued until it is 2v2, but the game carries on until someone scores. It would be very interesting to see on an 11v11 field rather than the 5v5 indoor football it's used for. I've heard this suggested quite a lot. I do like it on one level. On the other level, I think Jurgen Klopp may explode because we would be asking, we would be placing yet more physical demands on players who are already playing around, I haven't checked, but around 250 games a year. So I'm not sure that'll quite work. And the football pitch will become like a battlefield, essentially, if we're dropping all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they'd be too happy about that. Also, we have to give a shout out to Tom Clark, who got married at the weekend and played out talks from the Football Ramble during his wedding speech. Now, if you haven't seen this, we have tweeted it out on our Twitter page and it is brilliant. So Tom had sent in a dilemma to us on Pep Talks, which we do every Wednesday, where we answer some of your problems. And basically he was asking what he should do about his wife beating him at FPL. And he played it out on his wedding day and it was very funny. So Jim and Marcus were involved in Tom's wedding speech.
Yeah,
love that. So congratulations to Tom and his wife, who is excellent at fantasy football. And I mean, girls are better than boys at FPL. So.
Certainly seems like that.
Yeah, absolutely are. Right, thanks for all your emails. Keep them coming in. show@footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. And don't forget, if you do want to send in a problem for Wednesday's show in Pep Talks, then you can get that into us as well. Right, let's talk Chelsea Leeds. Chelsea beating Leeds by 3-2. Let's talk about the end of the match first, because it ended in a big old scrap. It was exciting. I mean, this is a big old rivalry from like the 70s. And despite what Luke thinks my age is, I was not around then, so I don't know too much about this old rivalry, but I've heard a lot about it.
You were doing
it.
Like a work experience at BT Sport then, weren't you?
Such a prick. Good game, though.
It was great.
Enjoyed this one.
I loved Marcelo Bielsa's quote where he said, in a game with emotions that were so high, you have liberating passions.
Liberating passions.
Beautiful way of putting it.
You didn't hear him say that, though, did you?
No, because it was translated.
Of course it was.
On the penalties, though, I think at least the Rafinha challenge was like worthy of a penalty. He went in with two feet. If they're getting a penalty anyway, just speedball to it. Absolutely brutal deluxe it.
I respect the commitment to it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a Leeds United fan, I would be, to put it mildly, of the opinion that you don't really need to be doing that.
No. I liked it when he sort of like leaned against the post going, waiting for the penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rudiger pen was not a pen, though, was it? Do you think that was a pen?
It is a penalty, but he's made the most of it.
I don't like that.
It's unedifying to see a man of that physical profile hit the deck so easily.
Yeah.
And he was the big swinger in the fight at the end. he thought, I fancy this now. He legged it right the way over there. But I thought it was, you know what?
You've seen them given. I mean, Brighton have had a penalty almost identical to that be awarded before, and I was absolutely buzzing for it. So it's different when it's your team, but when you're watching on, you're just like, that is a bit rubbish that that's a penalty. But I do understand why it was given.
It's another poor decision by the Leeds player, because he doesn't need...
I thought you were going to say by the drunk referee.
No! By the Leeds player, because he goes to try and nick the ball. He doesn't really need to do that. Mm. It's not as bad a decision as the Rafinha one.
No.
Who, of course, scored a penalty of his own as well. But that doesn't excuse it. But it's obviously Rudiger's exaggerated the contact, but I mean, it is a foul.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it's a foul, then it's got to be a penalty. It was a mad game, this.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, what's happened to Chelsea defensively lately? Because they've conceded 8 goals in the last week, and prior to this week, they were barely shipping any, and all of a sudden they just seem to be a little bit off the boil.
Chelsea doesn't even matter when Alonso's playing that lively.
He's lovely.
Mate. He's so good.
I just love him. Love him for my fantasy team. Anyway, handsome man, isn't he?
They've missed Trevor Chalobah last few games. I don't know if that's got anything to do with it.
Well, they've had quite a few injuries in the squad, haven't they? And it's been a little bit in and out. And I think they've made the most changes. Thomas Tuchel made the most changes to his starting 11 in the Premier League. Maybe they're lacking a little bit of consistency. I'm not really sure what it is, but it's very uncharacteristic of a Thomas Tuchel side to concede 8 goals in 3 matches in the space of a week.
Well, maybe if you have Big Brassel on here, I'm sure he'll be on later in the week, he can tell you whether this is the first signs of the Tuchel meltdown, which apparently inevitably happens when he manages any team.
Well, I mean, I like Alonso, but obviously Tuchel wasn't very happy with how he performed, so no doubt maybe that'll be a sticking point for him.
Maybe it will.
Maybe that's who he'll blow up on.
Well, Bencher was a better defender than Alonso, so they are missing him. But going forward, Alonso is always fun. He did give away a penalty. But anyway,
just enjoyed him.
What about Arsenal? They beat Southampton 3-0. They've bounced back because they had a bit of a wobbly couple of weeks or so, and not some great results. But really, the big talking point from this one was Aubameyang, who was left out of the squad completely due to disciplinary reasons. It's the second time under Mikel Arteta that he's been left out of the squad for this reason. You might remember back in, I think it was March, he missed the North London derby for a disciplinary breach. And now he's done it again. Now, there were all sorts of rumours as to what he'd done wrong on Saturday when the team news came out. Some people were saying it was something to do with a tattoo. that's actually been squashed now. And apparently it's to do with the fact he was given permission to
go to France.
I've got a trip booked.
Where'd he go?
France, I think.
Just on his holidays.
The Louvre.
I mean, he was meant to come back to England on Wednesday to report back to training on Thursday.
Right.
But instead of coming back Wednesday, he decided to just change those plans and just come back on Thursday and go straight to training.
Right.
Now, to us ordinary folk, that probably doesn't seem too bad because you're still back in time.
I was half an hour late for the morning show.
I was 10 minutes late because I had to stop and get a McDonald's breakfast because I was a bit hungover.
Yes.
Right, that's it.
Tis the season.
What? That's it.
What?
We'll talk about that afterwards as well.
Yeah, I didn't bring you any hash browns.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hash
browns. I was too far away. I didn't want it to get cold. I was thinking about you.
But we don't know the full story here.
I mean,
we don't know what's been agreed, but it's not ideal when your club captain's doing that.
I just don't think he seems the type.
At a time when it's kind of like, maybe he was getting a McDonald's breakfast, you don't know.
Maybe.
But at a time where the football, the first team squad has never been younger and never been more impressionable, you've got your captain
the average youngest starting 11 in the league.
Yeah.
And they do need a leader, and it's something they've been missing for a while. So when your captain does this, I mean, fair play to Arteta for putting his foot down and just saying, no, I'm not going to have that.
No.
Like, that can't happen at this club anymore. What happens now, Luke? Does he get stripped of his captaincy? Can you see any way back from this for him?
What's he got left in his contract? 18 months? He's 32?
Sure.
He's 32 years old? And Arteta clearly has a vision for what he wants to achieve. And absolutely, he has to, you know, hold the line and say, look, the rules, I think what Arteta's thinking is, if I want my players to respect me and understand that the rules are the rules, I've got to hold the line. And he's done that. And like you say, it's not the first time he's done it. What's ideal for Arteta is there at home to Southampton, whose record against Arsenal is absolutely fucking terrible.
You can be very pragmatic.
In 23 games away at Arsenal.
Yeah, and obviously Arsenal won the game fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, I don't know... I don't really know if Aubameyang's long-term future is going to be at Arsenal anyway. I mean, he's the age he is.
He's not been great for the last couple of seasons, has he? He's not been
in terms of goal scoring.
In terms of his numbers, like when he first arrived and the amount of goals he was getting compared to the last couple of seasons, it's not been not been what you want.
But probably make double figures again, won't he?
On the other hand, though, on the other hand, Arsenal don't really score that many goals. I mean, I know they won 3-0 at the weekend, but I mean, compared to the teams they want to be judging themselves against, they don't score anywhere near as many.
The Lacazette goal was lovely, though, by the way. The move kept started by the goalkeeper. 16 passes. It was almost old school Arsenal, which was nice.
And they were playing against 90s Southampton, weren't they, really? Charlie Dimmock.
Yeah. But he didn't start a game against Spurs because he was late. And that's again a big North London derby as well. So, I mean, look, Arteta's got to be the guy. And the culture at the club before Arteta had become terrible. It was like a terrible culture there. And anyone you don't even need to be an Arsenal fan to realise that. And Arteta's role is this transitional role where he brings this new generation of players through. He signs young players. They want to decrease the age of the squad in a big way. And they're doing well. I mean, I know they've had a couple of difficult results. I know the Everton one was unfortunate. The Man United one was one of those games, one of those Premier League games where you come off on the end of a poor result of a scoreline, and then I suppose they were smashed by Liverpool, but that can happen. They're doing okay compared to where they were.
They're 2 points off the top four, and they haven't got European football as a distraction.
Exactly, that's going
to
come into its own towards the end of the season.
The players in the squad, sure. So yeah, I think they're doing probably better than most people would expect them to. But I do think that they've got something to sort out there with Aubameyang. Whether that means they need to get a new striker, move him on, or whether, I don't know, something just needs to change there. It doesn't seem quite right.
But from an Arsenal fan point of view, you should be encouraged by this situation, because you support the club, you don't support the player. I understand he's been a good player for Arsenal, he's important and he's the captain. However long that'll go on for, we don't know. But Arteta's got a vision for this club, and Arsenal as a club, and any club's bigger than just one player. So the alternative is Arsenal just get held to ransom, which has happened before, famously, by players who want huge contracts and just want to do whatever they want. And Arteta's someone, no, you can't do this. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for, like I say, holding the line on it.
It was good to see Odegaard get a goal as well, because he's had a bit of a middling season, but it's good to see that he's shouting, he's involved, and now he's getting the ball in the net as well.
Do you want more Newcastle players to shout?
Shout,
a lot,
shout, let it all out. And he's also the captain, so that's going to be he's going to be difficult to move on, isn't he?
I saw Shelvey, one of the Leicester goals, it was Newcastle were carved open, and I can't remember it was now. It might have been the right back gave the ball away, and Leicester scored. Mm. And Shelvey, I could see, was just waiting to shout at someone when the goal went in.
Shelvey was going, "I'm trying now. Yeah. I wasn't trying before, but now I'm trying. I'm tracking back, and you're not letting me. You're letting me down."
I know now. I know what it's like when people don't try.
I don't know if you guys saw the quotes from Emmanuel Dennis.
What a season he's having, by the way. He's an FPL gem.
He is an FPL gem. Yeah. I think only Salah has had more goals and assists than him this season.
He's been brilliant.
Which is unreal.
That goal he scored for Watford at the weekend was amazing.
Yeah, and that was actually a brilliant match, I thought. Brentford getting a late penalty to win at home against Watford on Friday night. That's where it all began. Also, did you hear about the fan? It was really sweet. There was a Brentford fan, and it's been doing the rounds on social media, where she lost her husband earlier this year, and he'd been a season ticket holder for Brentford, and that she lost him, and so he never got to see Brentford get promoted to the Premier League, but he was a season ticket holder, lifelong Brentford fan, and his wife basically has decided to carry on that legacy. So she went to her very first Brentford game on Friday night, and it was that
amazing.
One.
Amazing.
And she said that she felt like he was watching over and sort of like willed that penalty to go in.
That's lovely.
It's a really nice story, and that was her first ever football match as a football fan, and that's how she saw it. And now obviously she'll probably be a Bees fan for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I'm sure
nice.
She will.
Very nice story. But what I was saying about Emmanuel Dennis is, I know we all get a bit fed up with our teams sometimes. I mean, Pete's had meltdowns over Newcastle.
He's happy at the moment.
He's all right at the moment, because they're losing. 4-0 defeat.
You can't shut him up.
On top of the world, mate.
But Emmanuel Dennis used to be an Arsenal fan, and he said, basically, I just can't do it anymore. It's bad for my health. The actual quote was, "I used to be an Arsenal fan. I liked Cesc Fabregas, but I'm no more an Arsenal fan. I was so much into Arsenal sometimes, I could cry when they lost.
Aww.
That wasn't good for me. So I was like, nah, I'm going to stick to myself and don't care much anymore, because it's not good for my health to be an Arsenal fan. It's just me and myself right now."
Pete, aww. Have you ever thought about just supporting yourself instead of Newcastle?
That would be quite a turnaround, wouldn't it?
It would.
Right, that's the Premier League's big stories from the weekend. Elsewhere, let's just head to America, because it was the MLS Cup at the weekend, and New York City FC won their very first cup in a penalty shootout against Portland Timbers at the weekend on Saturday. Their manager, Ronnie Daler, New York City's manager, said that when he'd celebrate, he was going to strip. And he stuck by his word. So in front of the fans at the end of the match, he celebrated by doing a... It was literally like a strip show. They were encouraging him to take layer off after layer off. And he stripped right down to his boxers and then did some press-ups as well.
Yeah, I didn't like it because it took way too long.
Yeah.
It's an instinctive thing where you're going, right, I'm
you
so
don't
happy.
Like the tease.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little bit studied.
When I do it in DFS, I've made up bath salts.
Yeah.
I'm not representing representing their brand values, they reckon.
You did 500 press-ups as well, didn't you? No one was impressed.
No one was impressed.
Double standards. I was excited to see that Portland Timbers have got an Asprilla playing for him. And he is Colombian, but sadly he's not related. No. I don't think he's related anyway.
But everyone on Twitter says every week that he's related, and people send me videos of him when he's not related.
But can Faustino Asprilla fully say that, though? Given his antics over the years.
It's like Tony Abbo's. It wasn't his son, it was his nephew. But everyone sort of says it's Tony Abbo's son. It's not. It's his nephew. And Tony Abbo has to constantly say, that's not my son. Yeah. He has to say, that's not my dad. Yeah. It's confusing, isn't it?
But do you know what I say? Do you know what I mean when I say, like, because Ronnie Daly is a man of a certain age, right?
Right.
I think he's like in his mid 40s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's thought about that. He said he's going to do it, and he's taken ages to do it.
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit awkward.
Yeah, it's a bit bulked up for it.
Like... Oh, it's like Lineker in the gym for half a season. Yeah,
because I can believe who was it, that Roma player? I forget who it was now. I want to say maybe Vucinic. Maybe that's probably wrong. I can't remember his name. Roma did something good. I think it was the last game of the season, and he stripped off in like 5 seconds. He was just in his pants. I get that because it's like impromptu. It's passionate.
I see. Yeah.
If you're planning it and you're doing it and you're taking ages to do it, I think think of the people in the crowd watching it.
Where would you stand?
3-4 minutes in, you're like, this is going on for ages.
Where would you stand on like stripper trousers? You just pull them straight off.
I would respect that more.
Mm. Or some chaps, just have the arse hanging out already.
Yeah. Imagine if he turned up on for a cup final.
In chaps.
In chaps.
Just borrow them from Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Also, just to touch on very quickly, I know we don't often go down to League Two, but we have to because game of the weekend, it was basically bottom of the table versus top, essentially, at Boundary Park. Oldham 5, Forest Green 5. Forest Green are the leaders of League Two. They were actually winning the game 4-1, and Oldham somehow managed to come back into it and, well, pick up a point at home against the leaders of League Two. And they're right down there, Oldham. I think they're second bottom. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's what they were heading into the weekend. What a game. 10 goals. Imagine going to watch your team and you get to see 10 goals.
And an own goal.
Very rarely happens.
And an own goal.
Why not?
There was some room. Stuff. There was some room after that own goal for more goals, but sadly none were scored.
No.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Sad. Right, that is all from us. Good to see you both, boys. Before we go, though, just a reminder for you guys listening that we do have a new Ramble Meets episode that's out today. Andy Brassel sat down with former Wimbledon, Liverpool and England defender John Scales. He's got a load of brilliant stories about being part of the Crazy Gang, talks about his involvement in Fair Game, which is the organisation designed to improve the sustainability of modern football. It's a really, really good listen, so make sure you check it out. Head over to Football Ramble Presents to listen now. And thanks for listening to us today on the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, Jim and Vish are going to be here with Kate, so they will see you then, and I'll see you boys soon.
Cheers, Jules.
Bye.
Ta-ta.
Have a good one.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.